Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. Shout out to all the underdogs listening live in Harlem, in New York City, and around the world. And as always, every week, you know what we like to do? Explore how underdogs get our swagger back in today's society and culture. And man, there's a lot going on in our society and culture these days. And we look at it from all the angles, the unavoidable, underreported, the underrated, the unbelievable, the unsaid, the unconventional, and more underdog stuff. And as always, to take you on that journey each week, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, business consultant, certified coach, content creator, and overall into exploring how underdogs, we get our swagger back in business and in life. And the topics will be inspired this week, like every week, from our personal lives, from some old events, from some new events, from some turnarounds that worked, and even some that didn't. And as always, a part that I know you all enjoy, we'll have a pinch of politics too. Today is episode 88. That's crazy, episode 88. I just had to play that real quick. It's 88, it's time to set it straight. Ain't no half stubborn. For stepping to me, they want to get some, but I'm the king, so yo, you know the outcome. All right, this is not me trying to be Big Daddy Kane, but I just had a moment. Anyway, it's episode 88, and the actual episode is going to be called What Do We Believe In? What do you believe in? What do I believe in? Do you believe in Nike? Do you believe in identity politics? Do we believe in ourselves? Do you believe in Trader Joe's? I promise you, it'll all make sense before we get out of here today. Let's get into episode 88. What do we believe in? Nike, identity politics, ourselves, or Trader Joe's? Unavoidable news story of the week. So this is how my week started off. I heard this.
If people say your dreams are crazy, if they laugh at what you think you can do, good. Stay that way. Because what non-believers fail to understand is that calling a dream crazy is not an insult. It's a compliment. Don't believe you have to be like anybody to be somebody. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. So don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
And that was Colin Kaepernick's voice to a new Nike ad that debuted this week. And when it first happened, I was feeling all the feels, in a pretty good mood, seeing that brother on the big screen, having his commercial, seeing some of the print ads. What happened was Nike teamed up with Colin Kaepernick to make him the face of a campaign for the 30th anniversary of Just Do It. First of all, the fact that I can remember that campaign like it was yesterday and the fact that that was 30 years ago is a whole separate topic. But anyway, it's the 30th anniversary of the Just Do It campaign, and he is going to become the face of it. Obviously, a lot of folks know Kaepernick from the NFL protests against racial injustice and police brutality. It started about 2 years ago. And as part of the campaign, Nike will make a new Kaepernick apparel. And this news comes as the NFL and its players union are still in a stalemate over what is and isn't acceptable for players to do during the playing of the national anthem. It's expected that this campaign will upset some. I'm sure you've seen some of the upset folks already. And overall, it will likely please some people and also likely make Nike a lot of money. So as expected, I wasn't the only one who was feeling, you know, generally good. I'm like, hey, that was good for the brother. He's got the commercial. NFL didn't want to hire him, but Nike's doing the right thing. Folks like Shannon Sharp also seem to be feeling good about this all.
You see, it also tells me that Nike is saying, you know what? We want our athletes to have voices. Mm-hmm. Because one of the most powerful athletes in the world is under this brand. Mm-hmm. And he has no problem whatsoever speaking on any issue. Mm-mm. So this is like, you know what? If he can do it, let's bring someone that's been ostracized, bring him under to let him know he's not alone. Mm-hmm. And we're in this fight with him. Mm-hmm. Kudos to you, Nike. Mm-hmm. Gonna buy me some more Nikes today.
yeah, gonna buy me some more Nikes today. I'm feeling good, feeling all the feelings. And then I realized as the week went on, I can't be happy about nothing. Nothing, not even a Nike commercial, because I started thinking to myself, what do I believe in? And how much do I believe that Nike cares about racial injustice and police brutality? And then all of a sudden, all my feels started to come up with a lot of different mixed emotions. And predictably, I wasn't the only one who was starting to feel a certain kind of way about this all. I mean, we knew if you kind of lean to the right, if you might be a conservative talk show host like this guy, Ben Shapiro, it was kind of predictable that you were going to feel this way.
Well, now Nike is jumping into the fray. So Nike decided that they are going to do this huge ad campaign that is going to focus on Colin Kaepernick. He is part of the 30th anniversary of Nike's Just Do It campaign. Okay, so there's so many elements of this that are just fabulously ironic. First of all, this social justice warrior campaign to sell sneakers produced by small children in Vietnam, presumably, is kind of hilarious. Watching the entire left resonate around a huge billion-dollar company, a huge corporation that allegedly exploits child labor in third world countries because, hey, Colin Kaepernick, that's pretty hilarious. It is also kind of hilarious that the slogan itself, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything, it's a really dumb slogan. And then we get to the actual issue of Colin Kaepernick being the face of this particular culture war. We get to the bottom line here. And there's a great irony to it. Using Colin Kaepernick, he's a poor example of this because he didn't sacrifice anything. Colin Kaepernick did not sacrifice a thing.
Not in this moment. I will address Ben Shapiro shortly. But predictably, there were some folks who lean a little to the right, some folks who've been against Colin Kaepernick, anthem protests, all that stuff. I knew that they were probably going to feel the way Ben feels. But what I didn't expect is that here comes Trevor Noah right behind it all. Like I said, started a week, saw the ad, stand for something, even if it means giving up everything. Colin Kaepernick getting some more airtime. NFL doesn't want to hire him, but Nike does. I was feeling kind of good, and then Ben Shapiro happened, and then this happened.
I do worry, though, that people have become a little too convinced by corporations that suddenly seem to have political stances. That's what I worry about. And so my thing is, at the end of the day, we always have to acknowledge and remember that corporations are trying to make money.
Yeah.
Right? So a corporation is trying to make money. And they're always going to go for the best interest of the corporation. So as much as people are like, yeah, I'm going to buy Nikes because they support, it's like, yeah, but they're also trying to make money, and they see there's a trend that they think can be profitable. Now, that thing can align with what you believe in, but I don't think people should put their alignment behind brands. You know, buy the shoe because you like the shoe. Don't be like, I buy the shoe because it represents my political beliefs, because I don't know that it completely does. So like to Colin, I go, yeah, make your money, and they're supporting you and what you're doing, and you use that money for your causes, so do that. But to people, I go like, come on. Like, otherwise we will go crazy as people tracking down the political ideology of every single item that is sold and made in the world and in America. I promise you now, you will buy nothing, you will do nothing, you will eat nothing. Because if you track everything, like it's just like it's one of those things where, like, you'll go crazy.
And that was Trevor Noah. Like I said, my week started out excited about the commercial, and then all these other thoughts started coming into my mind. Underdogs, what do you believe in? Do you still believe in Colin Kaepernick's cause? Do you believe in Nike? And that you want to go out and buy some more Nikes? Do you believe in Nike? That they are really believers and for the cause of fighting racial injustice and police brutality? Are you ready to just do it? A couple more details about the campaign. This week, the launch of it was a print ad that is in black and white photo of Kaepernick. A very tight shot of his face. And there's copy that reads, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. And as part of this campaign, which commemorates the anniversary of the start of that slogan, just do it, 30 years ago, man. Nike will also produce Kaepernick apparel, including shoes and t-shirts. And Nike is also going to donate to Kaepernick's Know Your Rights campaign. So a couple things come to mind about this week where I've been having different mixed emotions and feelings about this all. Do I believe in Colin Kaepernick? Do I believe in Nike? Do I believe in both? What do I believe? What do you believe? A couple things. One, I've heard people say that this whole Kaepernick thing is a bit disingenuous. He's a rich, well-paid athlete. What does he know about police brutality and about social injustice? He's not living that. He's a spoiled athlete. For those who say that, because sometimes as underdogs, we get to share with one another how we arm ourselves to go out there and have these debates and have these conversations. I would say it's so convenient how all of a sudden, just for Colin Kaepernick, he has to have experienced specifically these things to be a leader and a fighter for a cause. I didn't hear Trump supporters talking about, well, Donald Trump can't go out and represent the white working class because he's not in the white working class. No, I mean, politicians do this all the time. They represent a coalition. They represent different groups of people, and they aren't necessarily specifically in any one of those groups. They definitely aren't in all of them. Are we now going to live in a world where men can't care about women's issues? Women can't care about men's issues? You have to specifically have gone through something exactly in the cause that you believe in. I can't support the Alzheimer's Foundation or the Cancer Foundation unless I specifically have experienced both of those? Come on, man. Let's not do that. Also, let's not read too deeply into copy. People have gone, well, he didn't sacrifice anything. He didn't give his life. Like people have gone out and fought in wars. Well, I hate to break it to you, but let's be very clear. Let's not read too deeply into advertising copy. And if the standard is giving one's life in terms of sacrifice and everything, then none of us should ever use the phrase ever again that I sacrificed everything or I sacrificed a lot for something. It is not the bar at which we make a standard for that comment. And I think we all know what the comment is referring to. He sacrificed, at least, if anything, his football career. And if you sacrifice your career, that would mean a lot to you right now. Also, one other just small point, for those who've been burning their merchandise and saying they are boycotting Nike, just a note, once you've already purchased something, burning it is not boycott. You got to like not buy something again in the future. And lastly, for anybody who ever gets worked up about what they see on Twitter, while they may have seen a lot of people burning stuff on Twitter, Twitter is not a representative sample of what really goes on in the entire world. It's been reported that Nike's been selling a whole lot of shoes this week and more people have been buying Nikes than burning it. So don't always get caught up in the world that's on your phone called Twitter. Now, I've had to do some thinking about this because in the end, I'm pleased about what's happened. And people are like, Gregory, how can you be pleased about what's happened? Nike has sweatshops in other parts of the world. And Nike still has a partnership with the NFL. But if you watch a game, and I don't watch any football anymore. I stopped watching last year, which was tough because my Eagles won the Super Bowl and I didn't watch it. But Nike is still the official apparel of the NFL, and it's signed a contract to extend that. So, you know, and people are like, how can you still be pleased? Well, let me tell you a couple things of why I'm pleased. Does Nike really care about Colin Kaepernick's cause? I don't think they necessarily do. Because most companies, Nike included, what they care about is the premise, not the plot. In a recent article from The Atlantic, there's a great quote that I want to read to you. It says, one of capitalism's most enduring myths is this idea that there are good corporations and bad corporations. The truth is far more simple. Colin Kaepernick has a dream, and selling dreams is Nike's business. The premise of, I will stand for something, even if it means losing everything, is the premise. The plot is that Colin Kaepernick is standing for social injustice, racial injustice, and police brutality. I'm here to tell you that I would infer that Nike doesn't care too much about that plot, but what they do love is the premise, and that is what they are selling. No different than I'm not quite sure that Marvel truly believes in Black is beautiful and that representation of minority communities matters a lot. And that's why they produced and launched Black Panther, the movie. Probably not. They probably did it because it's an awesome story, a great comic book story that should be brought to the big screen. And at the same time, while I may not believe that Marvel did it for the same reasons why I enjoyed it, I was still happy that it happened. I'm happy that the cause of police brutality and racial injustice gets more airtime, especially since we're only 50 years removed from it being a crime to be Black. Oh yeah, 50 years ago, it's not that long ago. Civil rights movement only just happened. The end of segregation during Jim Crow only just happened. We're only 50 years removed from it being a crime to have this color of skin that I have. And so, yeah, I'm pleased that it happened because in a way, Colin Kaepernick represents those brothers and sisters that we've all worked with where you're like, I can't specifically say why they got fired or let go, but I feel like it has something to do with race, or it has something to do with gender. It has something to do with their sexual orientation. It has something to do with it. And so, for me, it's also a metaphor and a representation that happens on the public stage about stuff that happens on the more personal stages, our more local stages in our personal lives. And just like there oftentimes happens that there's settlements and cases, and you know, when settlements happen, the defendants aren't necessarily found guilty. They don't necessarily do any jail time. There's no true punishment except for monetary exchange, compensation. And so while the defendant may not have been found guilty and there really isn't any true justice, I can still be pleased for the plaintiff that they at least got something. So if I have to rewind back a week and the choices are this didn't happen at all or it did happen, I'm going with I'm glad that it happened. And if I have to keep it real, if at times I've been displeased with, well, at times, all the time, with Donald Trump, and also been displeased with how he's interacted with NFL football players, especially the Black ones, calling them SOBs and so forth. If I'm at odds with the NFL, which I stopped watching over a year ago, then you know what? If I'm keeping it real with you, you know why I'm pleased also about this whole thing? Because sometimes, as the ancient proverb goes, sometimes the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So I say to Nike, I see you. And I know that you care about the premise more than the plot. But I'm glad you just did it. And in the end, I also know that it's not enough. And that I get to, and we get to, as underdogs, keep fighting on and pushing on. But better to have this have happened than not. Shout out to all the underdogs listening on the Facebook Live. I see a couple folks jumping in. Shout out to Sean, my man. And he says, my man. I said, what's up, brother? Appreciate you. And shout out to Trisha. Also representing for my UPenn days. Also representing for two of my favorite states, the state of PA. Sean's from Erie and the state of New York. Trish is from New York City. With that, I'll end it here with just saying, I believe in the cause, even if I don't believe in Nike. Today's episode, what do we believe in? We've talked about Nike. I said we're going to talk identity politics, ourselves, and Trader Joe's. So let's get into identity politics. You know, I've heard that phrase a couple times. And we're going to talk about it inside of this segment called the Underdog Spotlight. And I've heard the phrase identity politics. I hear it a lot recently, all the time, people talking about, oh, identity politics is what's wrong with the politics, and we need more civility, and we need less identity, and all this other stuff. And so I went to Google, and I looked up, what does identity politics mean? Because I generally kind of know what it means, but if someone was like, Gregory, define identity politics, I was like, well, you know, what is it really? So I looked it up, and it is defined as a tendency for people of a particular religion, race, social background, etc., to form exclusive political alliances, moving away from traditional broad-based party politics. Interesting. We'll come back to that in a second. So, back to the theme, right? What do you believe in? Do you believe it is the year of the woman in politics? If you don't, I got some stats for you. There's a very good chance that more women than ever will be winning offices in November during these midterm elections. Among Democrats, 46% of all women who ran for office won the nomination in these recent primaries, versus only 23% of men. Even more women are running for office than ever before. And this is also true on the Republican side, even though women on the Republican side aren't doing as well as the Republican and Democratic side. It's a whole separate topic. But with that said, to put in perspective, during these primaries right now, leading up to the actual elections in November, what this means is literally if 10 women ran for a primary these past few weeks, five of them won. If 10 men were in primary elections this past couple weeks, only two of them would win. That's crazy, crazy numbers. And to take it even another level deeper, women have won 65% of races in Democratic primaries where it is an open seat. So that's crazy, you know, taking out incumbents and all the other stuff. So just good stuff. And it got me to thinking about this week's underdog spotlight. This woman, talk about what can we believe in. One thing she believes in is that change can't wait. That change can't wait. That change can't wait. That's what she believes in. And this is her acceptance speech this week.
So let's make this official, y'all. Are you ready to come to Congress with me? Are you ready to bring change to Washington? Because for the families and victims of senseless gun violence, change can't wait. For our brothers and sisters behind the wall, change can't wait. To our immigrants worried about the knock on the door, change can't wait. To women whose rights are perpetually under attack, change can't wait. To the residents of the 7th Congressional District, change can't wait. And to the many families like my own, we grew up feeling like it was us versus the world, that government didn't reflect us, didn't represent us, didn't advocate us, didn't see us. Change can't wait.
No, change can't wait. And at least in the Boston area, it won't have to. That was Boston's current city councilwoman, Ayanna Pressley, who in a primary this week beat a 10-term representative, Michael Capiano, in the Democratic primary of, I believe, the 7th district in the Boston area. She called for the impeachment of President Trump, amongst other things. She was also endorsed by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she was endorsed by Massachusetts' current attorney general. And it's reported that Capiano didn't lose because he wasn't liberal enough. He lost for a couple reasons, and that was one of tone. This idea that Capiano was more of a quiet liberal. And it's being reported that not just in the Boston area, but literally we're starting to see this around the country, that folks want to vote for someone who is more of an activist, not just quietly going about their voting, but also being out there and being vocal and demanding change. And Ayanna Pressley said that this district and these times demand more than just an ally. They demand an advocate and a champion. And just as a quick side note, underdogs out there, when you're thinking about the two things of your what and your how, so like what you're doing and how you're doing it, I think this campaign and that commentary about tone really highlights that sometimes we can be doing the same thing as someone else, the what, and yet their how can land as more energetic, more genuine, more forceful. And it's a reminder to me to make sure that while I'm out doing what I'm doing, and that's the what, but like how I'm doing it, what's my intention behind it also matters too. And then lastly, people said that one of the things that was a difference maker for this campaign and for Ayanna Pressley was the change in face of the Democratic Party. One party that is more representative of the voting coalition that the Democratic Party brings to the table year in and year out as voters, and wanting to see those same, that same rainbow coalition, as they say, also represented in office. So with that, I say that, what do I believe in? I believe in it is the year of the woman in politics. I believe in Ayanna Pressley. And I believe in identity politics. I do. You know, I think it's always strange that we had things like evangelical Christians. We had phrases like the working class, the Bible Belt, Christian conservatives. We had all those things. Now, we would often leave out the identity of race called white working class or white Bible Belt. But there's been a long history of identity politics around race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, all those things. And so it always feels a little funky to me when something that we've been doing for a long time all of a sudden feels uncomfortable or not the right thing to do when it starts to get too LGBTQ, or it gets too Muslim, or it gets too black, or it gets too multicultural. So what do I believe in? I believe identity politics have existed for a long time, and I believe they continue and should exist going forward. And like Ayanna Pressley said, what I truly believe in is a government for the people, by the people, and representative of all of its people. And that's our underdog spotlight of the week. Ayanna Pressley with her big win in the Boston area, and she is headed to Washington. So shout out to her. Let's jump into the Swagger Back Commandments. And they are truly a look into the ways that as underdogs, we get to, you know, turn things around and truly explore how we, you know, find that reset button in our lives again and again and get back on track and rediscover our special stuff. I've always talked about these Swagger Commandments being my story, your story, that our story of turning things around. And it's really an underdog perspective of how we get into the flow and keep that flow and rediscovering our special selves. And with that, this whole idea of what do we believe in got me to thinking about purpose and our whys and why we do what we do. And companies have their purposes and their whys. Nike, for example, their stated higher purpose, what they want to create in the world beyond just profits, is this idea of to use the power of sports to move the world forward. Their higher purpose, Nike, is to use the power of sports to move the world forward. That's their higher purpose. Whether you buy into it or not, that's what they out here trying to do and make a difference in the world beyond just make money. And for companies and someone who's a 16-year veteran as a marketing and business executive, helping to run business locally and around the world, I get it. Companies look into what their higher purpose is and making sure their whole organization knows it, because as Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla, once said, putting in long hours for a corporation is hard, but putting in long hours for a cause is easy. So there's something about our human spirit that we love to know why we're doing something. What's the purpose? What's the bigger picture? It helps us keep going even with our day-to-day stuff. And to me, I noticed this week that I was really drawn to this topic of purpose because I saw someone like Colin Kaepernick steadfast in his purpose, his calling. Someone like Ayanna Pressley, steadfast, confident, strong in her purpose, help her weather the storms of attacks and whether or not she can make it and what she truly believes in and what she's fighting for. And so it got me to thinking about the Swagger Back commandment called refreshing our GPS, which is really about defining what's our personal why, our higher purpose. You know, what gives us meaning for why we're here. And I'm touched by the fact that, you know, finding our purpose is critical if we want to live fulfilled lives. I've seen it for myself and for others, other underdogs. When we find our purpose, it allows us to use our gifts to touch other people's lives, to stand strong in difficult situations, accomplish more, make decisions easier, and so on and so on. And for those who are very religious, it helps you live what God has planned for you, for those who like to go there. And it's Sunday, you know, God loves you and so do I. And so with that, I found this article called The 9 Benefits of Knowing Your Purpose, and I'll put a link to it in the podcast notes that'll come out tomorrow. But it talked about the reasons why it's good for us to know our purpose. And it's things like knowing our purpose helps us not waste our gifts. It helps us touch other people's lives. It helps us stand strong in difficult circumstances. I mean, come on now. I'm sure Colin Kaepernick and Ayanna Pressley know their purpose, their why, because they've had to stand strong through some difficult circumstances. Also, number 4, knowing our purpose, according to this article, talks about it allows us to accomplish more. Number 5, you can make big decisions more easily because you kind of know your true north, your compass. What's in bounds, what's out of bounds. Number 6, you can say no guilt-free and limit over commitments because purpose also provides direction and at the same time gives us freedom, gives us greater energy, help us escape from living in deferred joy because we know that every day we're doing something with meaning. And then lastly, it honors and glorifies God to the best of our abilities, whatever your God may be. And with that, what I also knew about this week is that I wouldn't be able to do this topic justice, especially the way I wanted. And also, just to be fair, like, it's been on my mind this week and I still haven't fully crystallized it all, this idea of living with purpose and meaning and what specifically is my calling. And so one of the things I will commit to this week is that I'm going to go a little deeper this week and that I want to bring this topic back to part of next week's show, part of episode 89. And between now and next week's show, I'm going to take another look at my personal purpose and also take another look at the personal purpose of the company that I recently started called Underdog Stuff, which does stuff around consulting, community, and coaching. And I'll share with you what I find. We'll go into a little bit more deeper conversation about why it matters. And then hopefully some of you out there will share your calling, your personal purpose that you have. And we'll, you know, get our swagger back and keep it as a team and not go it alone. Because I do believe that this is definitely the case.
When you know your life's purpose, it becomes easier to focus on what means the most to you in life. It makes you feel passionate about your goal. Knowing your purpose gives your life clarity. People who know their purpose in life are unstoppable.
Yeah. And speaking of words, wouldn't it be cool to be unstoppable as we finish 2018 and then head off getting ready for 2019? I think so too. It's time to end the show with the under the week. I mixed it up this week. Normally we finished with the underdog spotlight, but I wanted to talk about Ayanna Pressley earlier in the show. So we did. But we're going to end with the under the week, which also has a happy ending as we end the show. Now, I don't know if you heard or not, but actor Godfrey Owens was in the news recently. And if that name sounds somewhat familiar, you might know who he is because he was a reoccurring character on The Cosby Show, which, as we know, was a very popular show back in the day. Former Cosby Show actor Jeffrey Owens has been working at Trader Joe's store for about a year. The other day, someone took a picture of him at work and shared it online in an attempt to job shame him. At first, he was really upset about it, but then he started receiving lots of support from fellow actors. He says that every job is viable and worthwhile, and it's not uncommon for actors to work multiple jobs. He says he's very happy where he is in life and how his career has been. And this is Jeffrey talking about that on a recent interview on Good Morning America.
My being this Cosby guy who got shamed for working at Trader Joe's, that's going to pass. You know, that's going to, you know, in some measure of time, that's going to pass away. But I hope what doesn't pass is this idea that people are now thinking, this rethinking about what it means to work. You know, the honor of the working person and the dignity of work. And I hope that this period that we're in now, where we have a heightened sensitivity about that and a reevaluation of what it means to work, and that a reevaluation of the idea that some jobs are better than others, because that's actually not true. There is no job that's better than another job. It might pay better, it might have better benefits, it might look better on a resume and on paper, but actually it's not better. Every job is worthwhile and valuable, and if we have a you know, a kind of a rethinking about that because of what's happened to me, that would be great.
Talk to him, Jeffrey. Underdogs, I am like 100% in agreement with him. I'm a big sports fan, and I'll never forget Shaquille O'Neal, basketball player, was being interviewed after a game, and the commentator said to him, like, how do you think the role players did today? In a way, attempting to divide or put this line between Shaquille O'Neal, who was considered a superstar, and then the broadcaster kind of asked her, well, hey, how did everybody else do today? And I'll never forget Shaq said this line of, we're all role players. Everybody just has a different role. And what I love about what Jeffrey said is all jobs matter. It's not about good jobs or bad jobs. All jobs play a role in helping this whole thing called our society work. It's one of the reasons why I believe in basic income or living wage. To me, if somebody's working a certain amount of hours a week, I don't care what you're doing. You are contributing to making this whole thing run, and you should not have to worry about access to healthcare or being able to put food on your table. And so shout out to Jeffrey for believing in handling his business, believing in getting his money and doing his work. And at the same time, you know, keeping the flexibility in his schedule so he can also do his acting thing. And speaking of, I said this whole thing would have a happy ending. Tyler Perry offered Jeffrey Owens a spot on the show called The Haves and the Have-Nots. How appropriate is that name? And turns out that Jeffrey is going to accept the offer, and he will have a reoccurring role on this soon to be 10 episodes being shot for Tyler Perry's The Haves and the Have-Nots. It had a happy ending. It's all good. Shout out to Jeffrey Owens and to Tyler Perry and to all the underdogs out there who are on their grind, working multiple jobs in this gig economy to make it happen, because they believe in their journey and they believe in themselves and they believe that there's no such thing as a good job or a bad job. We've come to the end of the show. So I'd like to, as always, end with a couple things. Some thank yous. Thank you to all the folks who've been listening on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. At home, on the road, on your phone, or however you're doing it. I love that you did it. Shout out to all the folks commenting on the Facebook Live. Shout out to the live show producer, Megan, to the podcast editor, Kayla. Like I said, live show every Sunday, podcast on Monday. Go to the GregoryNeesmithShow.com or GregoryNeesmith.com, and you will find the podcast episodes there tomorrow morning, or just search the Gregory Neesmith Show on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. And if you want to work together and figure out how we spread more special stuff together, reach out to a brother. You can reach me on email at gregory@gregoryneesmith.com or on my social media or on my website. I'm easy to find. So let's figure out how we can work together and spread more special stuff. And with that, you know how I'm going to end the episode. I end it the same way every week with my favorite quote. And I mean it. It's facts. It's true. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace. One.